Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
It's time for the Ian Furness Show.
You want me to turn it up?
Send your text to 49451 on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, here we go. 1 o'clock on... Oh, wait.
Hey!
huge. Well, we got an hour today. And we got Fact or Fiction in 35 minutes. You'll update me on where we are with all of that. Hi, I'm Ian. Big thanks to Fane, Dick Richard Fane, Richard L. Fane. Thank you for sitting in for the first hour today. It has been a stressful day that began at about 3:30 your time, Pacific time, this morning, trying to get back here. But we are here, ready to go. Kevin is in the Redbox producer's booth. He already established that earlier, though, I do believe.
It's true.
I guess I should do a headline, right?
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
2 o'clock headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 428, Buddies. I'm sorry. What am I doing?
Oh, jeez.
But I am tired, all right? Give me a break.
Man.
Come on. All right, let me try that again. 2 o'clock headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass.
You know, Ian, it's always 428, Buddies.
It's 205 right now. Hardcore went long. Lot to talk about from the weekend because Seahawks 28-16 winners over Indianapolis in a game that, frankly, wasn't that close. Same thing, 31-10 Michigan over Washington, a game that wasn't that close. Wazoo got a win over Portland State 44-24. We'll deal with that issue tomorrow with M. Cristo and Alex.
They got the win!
Our baseball team is back at it tonight. Boston's in town. We keep saying big series. I don't know. They start becoming less big when you lose 2 out of 3 to the Arizona Diamondbacks as Seattle did last weekend. Last weekend being yesterday, finishing it up. That's just awful.
That's a crusher.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, Washington football team quarterback. And Seattle does play there, by the way, this year. He is out 6 to 8 weeks. I didn't do the math. I'm not sure exactly when we're there. I live on a week-to-week basis.
We're all week-to-week, aren't we?
Niners put Raheem Mostert on the IR and a torn ACL for Jason Verrett starting corner. He is out for the season. That's good enough for now. A lot of other injuries on the NFL. A lot of stuff going on in the NFL. Great weekend for the Hawks, though. Hugh did a great job of explaining a couple things that jumped out at me. With Dick a minute ago, the cover two they played, how different that defense looked in that regard. The offense, we've got to have start there. Let's just start there. This was a wild game. Let me just give you some thoughts I jotted down yesterday being in Indianapolis. And boy, first of all, you may not be back yet because it's hard to get there and it's hard to get back to Seattle. Indianapolis, not the easiest place to get to. Maybe if you're Mike Gass, know the Gass man, he probably has a charter that flies back there to his home state of Indiana, the Hoosier state. But for most of us, it's a challenge. If you were some of the 12s that were there, man, you were noticed. What a wild, I looked around. My cell phone, I took a picture, and it just didn't do it justice because the press box is way high. And I have a bad phone. It's old. It's really old. And so it didn't do it justice. I'll try to paint the picture for you like this. It's a stadium that is light blue, like with a team that has light blue colors, a brick stadium with light blue colors and white. That's their color scheme.
Yeah.
I saw a ton of whatever we call that Seahawk green. A ton of it. It was really amazing. It was remarkable. Now, not everyone's from out here. A lot of people travel from the Midwest. I talked to a guy who lives in Minnesota that made the trip. He's a Seahawk fan and some others. But the atmosphere at the start was pretty cool. I'm assuming, Kevin, that what we saw in the press box and in the stadium is what everybody saw on TV. They synced everything up and did a 9/11 tribute, right?
Yes.
The daughter of one of the people that died in the towers sang the anthem from outside, or from actually at the site of the tower collapses. And the emotion in the building, fans in the building for the first time there for a regular season game, and I'm assuming it won't be 9/11, so it'll be different, but the emotion I felt with the fans there and I saw with the players in the warm-up, it was just off the charts. It just was. And you know, we miss sports so much over the last year. When we did have sports, it was just bastardized version of it. You know, it wasn't real sports.
Uh-huh.
No fans is not like it was better than nothing, but only slightly better than nothing. What we saw over the weekend at all these NFL stadiums, what we've seen the first 2 weeks of the college football season, I know people get nervous out here with COVID and everything else. I understand that. But the emotion in the building yesterday was cool. And then there go the Colts marching down on an almost 10-minute drive to start the game, just shoving it down Seattle's throat.
I mean, was really concerned. I was like, oh, no.
I mean, there were dudes that ended up having great games for Seattle on defense that were just getting pushed and bullied and knocked over. And Quentin Nelson looked like the biggest, baddest dude in the planet.
I think he might be.
Ryan Kelly was the same way. Oh, my, how did things change? I mean, they're cruising down the field. Their right tackle, Braden Smith, he's powering guys over. More on him later, Daryl Taylor. But as this is all taking place, it was scary. Like, I'm thinking, this offense better be really good because they're going to have to outscore these guys. Carson Wentz at one point was 10 for 11, by the way. Now, I think one pass traveled over 10 yards, I believe. It just check down Charlie stuff. But they're cruising down the field. They settle for three. So if we look back on this game, Kevin, there were a couple huge, huge plays, and even I would say decisions that were made in the game that to me kind of changed what happened. Hugh broke down the X's and O's. Let me give you the momentum and the feel in the building. Fourth and three at the Seattle three. Now, I don't know what goes through Frank Reich's head. I'm just thinking to myself, you have to go for it there. You've got a building buzzing right now. At home, they had a ton of Seahawks fans in there. They're trying to make some noise. But listen, you score there, it's not going to matter if you had 10 or 12,000 Seahawks fans in there. They were going to be drowned out because the building was humming.
And he was the offensive coordinator under a pretty aggressive play caller head coach in Philadelphia, remember.
And he decides he's going to go for the field goal and take the easy points, and they get the 3 points. I thought that was a huge, enormous, enormous play. If you want to go back one play, Kerry Hyder making the tackle at the 3-yard line. And Kerry Hyder got pancaked by Quentin Nelson earlier in that drive. I mean, like, I don't know if it looked like a truck ran over him. And he might have. He, like, pushed him back and then walked over his chest. Like, that's how bad it was. And Kerry Hyder steps up and says, all right, blank you, this enough. And that defense stiffened up, the 7-yard loss, and the tackle there at the 3 by Hyder, a huge play. And they kick a field goal, 3-0. And you're like, okay. That you kind of felt like, and I think I tweeted out, like, kind of felt like that was a win.
Yes.
Even though it was a 9-minute drive, it was terrifying. Well, Seattle just goes right back down, 9 plays, 81 yards, 4-15, and the catch by Tyler Lockett was one of the sickest things, and I've been really privileged and blessed, and thank you. I have a great job. I get to see these guys in person every week and have since 2010. It's I'm not sure. Lockett's made a couple of these, like corner of the end zone grabs, you know, if you think back. But this one was insane because going back to Thursday Night Football, Chris Collinsworth, there was a play in that game. Brady, remember, threw kind of a deep post, and it was Godwin, looked over his left shoulder, and then had to readjust over his right, and he couldn't make the catch.
Yeah.
And Collinsworth, the former receiver, said, it's the hardest catch you make in football. It's the hardest catch for a wide receiver. This one was so different because it was like a punt. Like, he just chucked it. Like, the hang time was 4 seconds. It's way up in the air, and he adjusted. And Hugh kind of broke down what the X's and O's of it. I'm just going to tell you right now, there was someone on the field who apparently said, that's the best catch I've ever seen in an NFL game. And I'm not sure if he's wrong. It was remarkable. And Tyler talked about this back in training camp. The importance of playing other sports and coordination and not just being a special. He played everything. And that's where it came into play. That's a guy that's an athlete. And chemistry with Russ aside, that's a huge part of it, and Hugh broke that down great. That's a great athlete making an unbelievable play. The hand-eye coordination, I think it translated to television. On the we're high up and we're looking down going, well, there's no way. And he came down with it, and this you're in a press box all the time. You don't hear ooh, like oohs and ahs from the collective media all that often. that was a moment where, like, all these people, especially from Indianapolis, were going, well, like, they hadn't seen that. They had T.Y. Hilton, pretty good receiver.
Yeah.
They've had actually a lot of good receivers over the years there. That was an unbelievable play.
Well, and it's funny because it's so easy to the spectacular catches that you see are, you know, diving catches or the sideline catches where you're just having to, you know, keep your 2 feet in the ground while the rest of your body lands out of bounds, all that sort of thing. There's nothing spectacular about seeing someone in a vacuum just catch a really high ball over his shoulder.
Right.
Like, that's just like, well, yeah, isn't that what they're supposed to do?
Right.
So you have to take a more macro look at it and see, like, Tyler Lockett does that sort of thing so often. He's not DK's size, not DK's strength, and I don't think he's the – I don't know if they did the fastest receivers in the NFL. I don't know where he would be. I don't think he's the fastest.
No.
But he just does that sort of thing so often, and Russ has so much trust in him that he just does that. What yesterday, Patrick Mahomes, someone asked him after his game about throwing to Tyreek Hill, and he said, well, S it, or what is it? Blah, blah, blah. Just throw it up, and he's going to get there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Russ does with Tyler.
And he does that. He doesn't do that with DK as much.
No.
He does it with Tyler because there's a trust factor there and there's a chemistry there.
It's the way he trusted Jermaine Kearse.
Yes. And
only he's better.
The difference is this guy's a Pro Bowl guy.
Yeah.
I mean, 1,000-yard receiver. But let's go back to one thing before I get to the offense.
And we do have a little bit of news we want to get in before the next
segment. Okay. Before we get to the offense and before we get to that news that's breaking with college football, right?
Yes.
Before we get to that, I would just, to me, there was the biggest play of the game was the 4th-and-1 after the turnover by Carson. Seattle had just shut down that entire building, and a couple of the Seahawks executives who were there, we're in a glass booth, so it's kind of hard to tell, get a feel for things, said, I talked to them after the game, they said, the place was deflated after the first touchdown, after the long touchdown at the end of the first half. Like, every time they thought they had momentum, Seattle would suck the life out of them. That turnover was a game changer. If they score, it's a different football game. It just is a different football game. And the stop on 4th-and-1, and actually, I'll go back one play. Quandre Diggs stepped up into the hole and just smacked Taylor. Like, big-time play by a safety. And Hugh talked about the cover, too. On that play, running play, boom, he stepped up and made the play, held him short, and then 4th-and-1 Wentz. He saw he had deers in the headlights, man. Like, I want no part of this. Jamal's coming over the top. That's a big dude. That should be an easy first down. Oh, by the way, breaking news, Russ quarterback sneak, fly sweeps. Who are these guys?
Man,
what a game.
It looks
what an offense.
So different.
Oh, my God, it was unbelievable. And I'll wrap it up with this before we get to the breaking news because we do want to get to that stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things that really stood out to me after the game, and this is something that I really, and I'm not comparing this team to the great Seahawks teams, but there's enough veteran leadership and the expectations that they have internally are high. And what I saw after the game wasn't the huge elation like I have seen other times. Like, there's been games I've come back and told you, like, wow, those guys were just like taking the paint off the walls after the game. They're celebrating. It's like you would have thought. And it depends. Game 1 of 17, yes. But a road win against an 11-win team last year. They start the season with two teams that won 11 games. Tennessee's next. They didn't look like 11-team win either. An 11-game winner last year either. But the business-like, we expected to do this attitude, I was really impressed by how, like, you just kind of felt the Bobby, Quandre, Dwayne Brown, Russell, you kind of felt the expectations for this team are just probably higher, and they should be, than any of us have maybe at times. But they just went in there. They knew. They were confident. Tyler talked about it afterwards. We may get time to play his interview at 2:30. I'm not sure if we'll have time today or not. He talked about it. Like, all the noise outside, everyone's like, no, they knew what they had. The defense took a series. I mean, if you kind of look back, missed tackles by Bobby and a couple other guys, they just needed to get warmed up. That's where the preseason came into play. They didn't tackle anybody in forever. And then all of a sudden they did. And that defense was stellar. Rasheem Green, or what they call him on the broadcast?
Raheem Green.
Monster. Brian Monet was an absolute beast. Chris Carson, wait for it, Dick Baird, war daddy. absolute war daddy. And he sucked the life out of that building, too. Just trucking. Will Disley trucking, guys. Fun game. If you're a Seahawks fan, I hope, and you have tickets for the game on Sunday, man, mask on, mask off, whatever. Go there and just get nuts. Get crazy. Have fun. That team deserves it. You deserve it as a fan. You've been a long time. I think there's you should have high expectations, and you should be fired up. And how much fun is it going to be? Tennessee rolling into town. They just got their ass kicked all over the field by Arizona. And by the way, it's nice to be playing in the NFL's version of the SEC, because that's what this is, the SEC West. It's insane how good this division is.
It's like, really annoying. It's really annoying.
But it's fun because it's going to be like that all year. All right. Breaking news. I see the logo of something you have up on your screen.
Yes.
Go ahead, fire away.
Statement from Director of Athletics Mike Bone, or Bond. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. The SC is on the top. That's for Southern California.
Yes.
This afternoon, I informed Clay Helton of my decision to make a change in the leadership of our football program. Blah, 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 he's a great guy. Blah, 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 we're committed to winning championships. But Clay Helton is done at USC after losing to Stanford on Saturday.
So I don't know if we can get this. Wow, yeah, right in the middle of they're playing Washington State on Saturday at 12:30 on national TV. Clay Helton is out. Apparently that news came down right when Nick Rolovich's news conference was going on moments ago. Our friend Brenna, told Rolo about that. Rolovich says, quote, "It's a crazy business we're in, especially as of late. That's never happened to me before." Oh, my God.
What?
Okay, first of all, I read that cold, and now I'm thinking about what he means. Okay.
Okay, yeah, that is one way to react to that.
Clay Helton out at USC, 8.5-point favorites against the Cougs this weekend. Wow, hey, football's back. Happy Monday to you.
Man.
Happy Monday to you, Kev.
Wow. Yeah.
What the hell's going on? All right, so Clay Helton fired by USC, Seahawks defense, front seven, just annihilating people. Jonathan Taylor's got to just be feeling – I mean, I don't know how many ice baths the guy can take over a 48-hour period, but I think he should be taking a lot of them. He got mashed in the face way too – that's a pretty good running back, I thought, isn't he?
Yeah.
He had 27 yards through three quarters.
Yeah.
27 through three quarters. That's not good. Of course, you're a fantasy player. You're like, oh, what the hell? Funson told me to start that guy. All right. We'll take a break. We've got a lot to get to, man, today. Kind of wrap up the weekend, put a bow on that, and we'll do fact or fiction. Kevin will recap what happened with that. I know I did well.
Well, you went 2-1, I went 0-1.
You got to do better.
This is completely unfair that this is being put on me, Ian. We both lost one. And by the way, Kansas City should have won by more than 5.
We'll come back with more on that. Good. Fact or fiction next.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
Monday Night Football tonight, Raiders Baltimore coming up, 5:20 kickoff, right? 5:15, 5:20,
I think Monday night's
like
around 5:15, yeah,
okay.
5:15.
We'll have that game for you right here on 950 KJR. Softy will join me in about 15 minutes' time. If you missed the news just a moment ago, the USC Trojans have fired head coach Clay Helton. They have hired on an interim basis Dante Williams as their head coach. I think it's curious. There's a guy on that staff that many people believe is a head coach in waiting at some point in Graham Harrell, a longtime assistant in the NFL, then was a Mike Leach assistant, and then moved down to USC a couple years ago. And Graham Harrell not named the interim guy. And maybe a reason is they don't like USC, man. Tailback, fullback, I formation. You run that damn air raid offense. Graham Harrell, air raid guy. I don't know. I thought he would have been the guy you make on an interim basis, but that whole staff will be gone when it's all said and done. Tough for them, but Clay Helton fired. They got just smacked. Kevin mentioned the break, and I'm with you. You know so little this time of the year about football. Like, you just – the great unknowns out there. Stanford could not have looked slower, just more predictable and worse than they did the first week of the season when they just got absolutely handled by Kansas State down in Dallas. And they just got their ass kicked. I mean, they were out of their league. And yet Stanford goes into the Coliseum and beats USC 42-28. And I that's it for Clay Helton. Every USC fan is thrilled. I know Husky fans are all mad. They wanted their guy fired today, not Jimmy, but John Donovan. I know Softy and Fain will address that coming up at 3 o'clock today along with the Seahawk game. Softy, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, you get a little bit of insight. Softy was there at the game, which is great. He'll give you a little insider feel for how it was. I kind of described what was going on in Indianapolis for you guys. It's kind of fun. You get a different feel for a game when you're there. So Softy will be able to really kind of dive into that with the Huskies coming up at 3 o'clock today. But, yeah, you don't know what's going on this time of year. And if we're being honest, the bias aside, especially from Husky fans, Oregon hate here, I don't think any of us thought that game would even be close. And they destroy Ohio State.
Yeah, they looked great.
Despite the fact that Stroud threw for 484 yards. And you're missing your two best defensive players on the Oregon side of the football. I mean, I'm terrified what they're going to do to the Cougs. If I'm a Husky fan, I'd be terrified what they're going to do to you. Because you can't score. Ohio State can, but they couldn't stop them. I mean, that's crazy. Crazy weekend in college football. We'll get into a lot more of it tomorrow when we get to Jed and Jed's a busy guy. MK.
Nasty habit, Ian.
I know. MK and Alex on. Let's get to some fact or fiction, shall we?
It's time for fact.
Just a fact, Jack. Just a fact, Jack.
Or fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
I have a great, great pick for you guys today. You're going to want to get in on this in just a second. Your chance to win a $1,000 weekly prize, $10,000 grand prize. $1,000 weekly prize announced tomorrow?
Yes.
Perfect. So if you enter the first week and you got at least one correct, you may get a call from Kevin Shockey tomorrow saying you win $1,000. Is that your favorite thing to do on the radio station? Well, the 10,000 is probably your favorite, but
I mean, well, the 10,000 person knows generally.
Yeah, that's true.
They're if you're winning $10,000 in this contest, then you're pretty aware of where you
1,000
are.
1,000 is just a random
and you get
to notify somebody they win $1,000.
Yeah. My favorite is when I call them and they don't answer. That's awesome. Love that.
If you see a call from iHeartMedia, you better answer your damn phone.
Just answer the phone.
Kevin, give me a recap of how things went the first week.
All right, first week, your favorite show and mine, Chuck and Buck. Yeah. They went 2-2. The winning picks, shockingly, Denver -3 and Cincinnati +3. Losing pick, Green Bay -3 and the Washington football team +2.
At least one of those was a Bucky pick.
Yeah, two of them.
Well, the two winners were Bucky?
No. Bucky had Denver -3, but he also had Green Bay -3, which seemed like an easy answer to me.
Seemed like a good pick.
So they went 2-2. Your friend of mine, Jason Puckett, went 3-1. His only loss, a very close one, New England -3 against Miami. They end up losing by one. That could have swung either way.
He took the under in the Seahawk game too, right?
He certainly did. Under 49.5. That was close.
Damn.
That could have gone poorly at the end of that one.
That could have really
So he had the
poorly.
Under and Seattle -3 in that one.
Wow.
Okay. And the Rams -7.5, that was never in doubt either. Nice little week for Puck.
Well, not the way Chicago plays.
Softy and Dick are 2-1 pending the result of tonight's game. Dick has Las Vegas +4 in the game tonight.
This is just
And you and I went 2-2 again. Michigan -6.5, that one was in doubt. Dallas +8, everyone already knew that one. And then you lost TCU -11. I lost Kansas City -5.5.
So if we were to break it down specifically, and it is a show, it's a cumulative thing with the show. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Chuck and Buck and Fain and Softy don't break it down individually. But if we were to, like, throw stones and cast blame somewhere, kind of like Husky fans do to their offense and John Donovan, even though did Michigan have how many running backs that went over 150 yards in that game?
I think it was two.
Okay.
Just two.
I know the defense is great, but how many again?
Yeah, they were beat everywhere.
Not since the days of Tyrone Willingham or Keith Gilbertson. Do guys go?
Is that what happens when you combine them, Tyrone Gilbertham?
Yes. I think I was talking to John Boyle, CX.com, and he's like, hey, "What do you think last time two guys went over 150?" He goes, maybe Gilby, maybe Tyrone, maybe both. Anyway,
are you trying to take a shot at me here? Because it's not going to work. Because Puckett was still better than you.
I was 2-1 last week.
Puckett went 3-1. So, well, nice try.
He had an extra opportunity. All right, let's go. You be better. You be better tomorrow. I'll try to be better tonight. I like this game, and I like it because I'm going head-to-head with Fane, too.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I like Dick for filling in for me, and I appreciate that immensely, what was his pick tonight?
He has Las Vegas +4 in the game tonight.
Okay. Well, in a sense, you can box the exacta here if you want, but I would just, like, you know, have some stones and don't, right? I'm going to go, because the line's changed. It's now Baltimore favored by 3.5.
Uh-huh.
I love that. I don't think the Raiders are any good. I think that's why it took KJ Wright so long to sign there, because he knows they're not very good. He wanted to go somewhere where he could win a title or at least be in the playoffs. That's not going to happen with the Raiders. They're not a very good football team. I don't expect them to be a very good football team. And, yeah, Baltimore's losing some guys, and they've got some running back issues. I get all of that. Is Lamar Jackson still their quarterback?
I believe so, Ian, yes.
I heard he's pretty good. Was he what's that? What's those three letters?
Valuable Most Player, VMP.
Yes, the Valuable Most Player. Has Russell Wilson ever been the valuable
most player?
You know,
Ian, son of a gun, he's never even gotten a vote. I thought about that yesterday. I'm like, we're going to hear that again this year, aren't we?
We'll hear it this week when they're playing Tennessee.
Perfect.
I love Baltimore -3.5. Fact, 49451. Text that right now, and you will have a chance to win $1,000. I can't 100% guarantee you, because as we always know, there's nothing that's 100% a sure thing. But I feel really good about that. And I think it'll be interesting tonight to see what it looks like crowd-wise there. It's a regular season game. Yes, it's the first one with fans for the regular season, but they did have a couple preseason games in Vegas. How many people travel from across the country that are Ravens fans? They weren't sold out for the preseason games there. It'll still feel big for the Raiders. It'll still be loud. I get all that. But
they have a lot of donuts.
They have donuts. I think Baltimore goes in there and smacks them around. So I'm going to go Baltimore -3.5. Fact, 49451. And remember, I'm going almost, Dick got a little bit extra bonus points, but I'm going Baltimore -3.5 going against the afternoon show from 3 to 7.
I lean to fact on this. It does scare me a little bit that we saw what happened with the Golden Knights and the kind of hometown crowd they have there.
Yeah.
A preseason game is not necessarily going to be indicative of what you're going to get for regular season.
There weren't a lot of Seahawks fans in that preseason game in Vegas. It was mostly Raider fans. It'll be a decided home field advantage for them, and I'm not saying people from Baltimore are going to travel all across the country, but I don't know. I think Vegas has a very distinct – and remember, the Golden Knights were just starting up.
Right.
A lot of people in Vegas already have a team.
Right. That's fair.
It's Arizona-like, so.
All right. 49451 is the number to text.
Yes.
I believe I will text a four-letter word, not a six-letter word.
Fact, 49451, Baltimore -3.5 will win by at least 4 tonight. That's what it means, by the way, in case you haven't played this before and your name is not Joe Fan or Femi and you're not working for one of the gambling networks. Now, congrats to both those guys, too.
How about that?
I'm happy for both those dudes getting gigs down in Vegas. If you're not one of those guys, you're like, what does he mean? I'm telling you, Baltimore's going to win by at least 4 points, and if they do, and you text in fact to 49451, you will qualify to win $1,000, and Kevin Shockey may call you tomorrow. If you disagree with me, then you text fiction to 49451, and you think that the Raiders are going to win, or they're not going to lose by more than 4 points.
If you would like to win $10,000, you better start playing now if you haven't already
started.
This
is the week, right? This is the week?
It's okay. If you don't play this week and you start next week, then I would wager a significant amount of money that you will not win $10,000. I'll just say that.
All right. That's your Monday night game. That's your pick for Fact or Fiction. Baltimore, -3.5. Fact. Kevin, give me some early results. Do you have them?
70.9% fact coming into 49451 right now. The masses agree with you, Ian.
That's a good number.
It's pretty good.
For a tight game.
Pretty good.
And I'm picking against the home team.
Yeah.
Fact, 49451. Text in right now. You got a few more minutes to do so, Softy now.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Dave Softy Mahler is with us down at the Emerald Queen Casino. Real quick, our EQC note. How about our EQC fact or fiction? You know how I feel because you felt this way yesterday after a travel day.
It sucked.
And I'm going to get to that in a second. The fact or fiction, 49451, I'm going Baltimore minus 3.5 directly against Dick Fain, his pick from last week. So text fact to 49451 because you know that Fain's going to be wrong. That's why text fact 49451.
I think we should add a little more to it and spice it up. I mean, Fain's got the Raiders tonight, right, Dick? And you've got the Ravens tonight. So we got two guys going head-to-head, Ian against Fain, for the Week 1 championship of Fact or Fiction.
The Week 1 championship's already been won.
Yeah, Puckett already won that.
I'm talking about between our shows.
Oh, okay.
That's really all we care about.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Right? I mean, Puckett's going to eventually have an 0-for-15 run and fall out of it. So the hell with it, man.
We've seen it.
At some point, he's going to stumble into traffic.
Yes, you are.
How about we spice up a little bit here?
I'm not doing your show.
Loser, Hugh Millen gets to throw footballs at your back.
No, I've seen how that works.
I recommend against that, folks.
You know what's amazing, by the way, about that? The fact that you actually were able to have a baby after going through that?
Well, he didn't hit me in my jewels. It was the back.
He hit him in his back.
Sometimes that stuff spreads.
Hey, what happened yesterday? I glanced down at social media one time. It looked like you were in Portland, Oregon for some reason.
We were in Portland. We're about a half hour away, you know, using the Delta flight tracker, which I love. Because once you get like under 30 minutes, like you can hear jingle bells going off. Oh my God, we're getting close. And we get to 30 minutes and the pilot says,
we have a backup at SeaTac Airport and we do not have enough gas to circle. Therefore, we will be landing in Portland to refuel.
And there was a collective, from everybody. On that flight. Two guys in front of me almost got into a fight, by the way.
Why?
On the plane.
Why?
I thought we were going to have a Twitter moment, a video, a viral video.
What happened?
Because one guy left his cell phone on, and you know as well as I, every now and then, no matter if you're 35,000, 40,000 feet, there's a chance you'll get a little bit of a signal, right?
Right.
So this guy's phone rings during the plane, and he answers it. It's his wife yelling at him. And so the guy next to him yells at him for not being in airplane mode. And the guy that took the call yells back at that guy, go F yourself.
Wow.
And I thought for a split second there, we're going to have a problem here.
So you get your phone out, you're ready to start recording.
This is going to be on YouTube,
this is going
to be on Twitter.
Oh.
Now, to their credit, the one guy that said, go F yourself, eventually extended an olive branch and apologized, to which the guy accepted.
Okay.
You know, all of us are in bad moods. We're all frustrated these days. So
how many people on that
flight? That close.
How many people on that flight were Husky fans who were already on edge?
Tons, including, Christian Capel's not a dog fan, but he was there in front of me.
Right.
And then Damon Huard from Puyallup, Washington.
Yeah.
In the words of Brent Musburger.
Wait.
He was there as well on the flight.
Yeah.
And a bunch of angry Husky fans that were, you know, about to short circuit already after what happened on Saturday.
But Huard probably has an even more reason to be mad than anyone else because he's like, why isn't my guy out there? He can do better than this.
Oh, no. Trust me. He wants nothing with that right now.
You
want to put your kid behind that line?
I thought that was the best line in the conference.
It was until the season
might
started.
Might be the best in the country.
And then they kicked it off, and I was like, wait a second, something's wrong here.
Phil Steele had these guys at, like, number 4 in the country, right? That's one of the big questions about this team that was asked about Jimmy Lake today. And we'll talk to Joel Cloud about it. How could we have been so wrong on this football team? I mean, all we're doing is talking about 5 starters coming back plus every running back from last year. They should be good.
How disappointed are you that the first coach fired in the Pac-12 was not your old coordinator?
Well, I was hoping it was John Donovan. when I saw a report from Brett McMurphy that said blank school has fired blank coach, I would have thought maybe it could have been Donovan. But look, I mean, he's got a week.
Yeah.
They come out against Arkansas State, and they look awful again. I don't think he's here Monday.
Well, it's Arkansas State. So.
Well, that's why it's even worse. You can only lose this weekend. That's my whole point.
Softy, are you rooting for them to win 7-3 but he's out?
Listen, man, I want this program.
I'm not saying you're rooting for them to lose.
No, I'm not rooting for them to win 7-3.
Okay.
I want to get this thing going. Okay. I don't care if John Donovan's the guy. Just be the guy. Either A, you're not the guy, or B, you are the guy. But this middling in between, this can't happen. So if this continues, then yes, of course he should be out.
All right.
I mean, this is not a debate. My God.
I'm looking forward to hearing from you today. I think this will
be
fun.
I'm sure you are.
I think this will be fun.
Now you can talk smack after beating Portland State on Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you what. Not everybody
congratulations
can, not
on
everybody,
that.
Not everybody can take out the Vikings. That's for damn sure.
All right,
so
that.
Joel Klatt, what else you got?
Joel Klatt coming up. Pete Carroll coming up. Jimmy Lake coming up. The Colts radio recap coming up on the show. Ravens Raiders at 5:15 with Kevin Harlan. We got it all, baby.
All right.
See you, man.
Right, see you. Bye.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying so long, everyone.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.